Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello, welcome in Monday edition of the Hoosier Report. We are live and underway here on the Big X Sports Radio. Glad to have you with us as we begin this week here on the program. Of course, we were with you last night for some bonus radio late in the evening. We had our two-hour tournament pairing special yesterday. Nine coaches joining us over that two-hour period. And if you missed that or you want to go back and hear the show in its entirety, it's available as a podcast. We've got it out on our social media. You can find it on SoundCloud and Apple Podcasts as well. But hard to believe the high school tournament is here. And guess what? March Madness, likely without the Indiana Hoosiers. Actually, I'm going to say on this Monday, definitely without the Indiana Hoosiers. We'll follow that before you know it. We'll be talking Big Ten tournament, which still could be a lot of fun. You never know if Indiana could get hot and make some sort of run. I think we're all losing hope with each game that goes by. But the Big Ten has been great. That will be a fun event. I'm not going to let Indiana's lackluster play as of late or as of this 2019 portion of the calendar affect my interest in the conference, because it's a great one this year and a real battle ensuing at the top of the conference for the regular season championship. We'll talk about that here in just a moment. But Indiana drops another game. I think Alex Bozich wrote this after the game, hitting a new low. It's been a low season, a low 2019, I guess, for Indiana. But that loss at Michigan, 84-63, the Williams Arena, the Barn, as it's better known, a loss for the Hoosiers. Indiana just looked like a team that's checked out. I mean, I think it's fair to ask at this point, will they win another game this season? The next game is Tuesday night. It's rival Purdue coming to Assembly Hall. You would sure think that no matter what's been going on, no matter what the issues with this team on or off the court could be, that you would get amped up and excited for your rival to come in town and say, you know what, we may have screwed a whole bunch of things up this season, but we embarrassed ourselves when we ripped Purdue. We're going to come out and make this a game. We're capable of it. We can hang in there with them, and we're going to do it. But at this point, I think you have to question, will it even be a close game at home for this team based on recent performances, specifically the Minnesota game, which, again, looked like a team that had checked out for the season, that they knew they weren't playing for any postseason opportunity, that just moving on to whatever's next for those guys next season or beyond. Really a sad sight on Saturday for this team at Minnesota. We'll talk a lot about that game. We'll talk about the high school pairings. We'll do a lot in this program today. Let's start with a guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Joining us here in the first segment, actually I should say in the first segment, we'll have our news of the day, our Hoosier headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville, some notes on IU and the Big Ten Conference, a couple quick recruiting notes as well, and I'll run through the pairings if you missed them last night with a couple thoughts on those as they come out for all four local sectionals, 1A through 4A. We'll do that in the first segment. Segment two, I'll be joined by Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. Zach is the IU insider for the Star. We're going to talk about Indiana's troubles. I mean, that's what this show has consistently been about now since early January, and we'll continue to talk about what went wrong and how in the world is this Indiana team going to compete against Purdue, even at home, on Tuesday night, and can they win a game? Not a few weeks ago or a week ago, we still thought, well, if they got hot and won some games, you know, that they could make the NCAA tournament. But I just don't see it. I'm not sure that they'll win the rest of the way. Surely they will, but I'm not sure. And I think that we all can look at what's going on out there and with different players and different things that are happening or not happening on the court. You just kind of scratch your head and wonder, how in the world did we get here? Now, could the Indiana's projections been overblown by guys on the radio like me and some of the guests that we have on this program? Absolutely. But the effort and some of the basic things that you would expect from high-level players, it just doesn't appear to be there. So we'll talk with Zach about all that and more. I wish I could tell you we had some real positive stuff because Zach's a great writer and a great guest, but it's been really negative when it comes to this IU team. But we got to talk about it. We got to talk about that Purdue game tomorrow. It's still a big one. Should be a fun game in Bloomington. Will Indiana compete, I guess, is my question about that game on Tuesday night. Later in the program, Chad Gilbert will join me. You know Chad. He's the athletic director at Charlestown High School. He's an IHSAA executive board member, and he's with us Mondays here on the program. We're going to talk about the pairings. Chad's a former coach. He's been through some state tournaments, both on the boys' and the girls' side. We'll talk about what the pairings mean and how maybe that changes things for you as a coach as you get ready for this final week of regular season practices. A couple teams have one game, maybe at maximum two games left in regular season play. Almost everybody wraps up the regular season on Friday so they can get some rest on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday before sectionals start across the state on Tuesday evening. But a lot of things to talk about given the high school draw yesterday. We'll catch up with Chad on that coming up later in the program as well. That's the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll receive $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at our Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Let me read this to you. Archie Miller, after the game, in the post-game press conference. Now, I did not get to watch the game live on television. I had to go back and look at most of it. I did see this. I did get a chance to click on and listen to his post-game comments after the loss over the weekend. Here's a quote that's been widely circulated. So you've probably seen this elsewhere, newspaper, online, social media, somewhere. Here's Archie Miller after the game. He said, quote, this one, talking about the loss, quote, this one, this is sort of a deal breaker. We have to make some real, in my opinion, drastic changes to the way we're doing things right now. We've got to get some guys' attention, and we need to get some guys to play better. So an interesting quote from him. Sounds like drastic changes may be coming. You would have to wonder why have there not been more drastic changes if there's anything left in that bag to pull at this point, given how the team's played. But an interesting quote from Archie Miller, I thought. He was really negative about this team a month or so ago when they were going through that seven-game slide. Now they're in the middle of another terrible slide, and you can tell, obviously, the bad play, the turnovers, the lack of effort. I know he's getting a lot of criticism thrown at him. Some maybe rightfully so. Others, crazy fans on social media that don't understand a thing about basketball, let alone college basketball, making absolutely crazy claims. And I'm sure he doesn't know about that or care about that or pay attention to some of those. But there's no question about it. The dude's getting all kind of criticism when he goes around Bloomington and other places and from the fans and whoever else. It's Indiana. It's a big program. People care about it. Whether you're winning or losing, people are going to let you know how they feel. So he obviously is a frustrated coach and is a coach that maybe has something drastic that he'll do with a completely new starting lineup or maybe a completely new way of doing something in the Purdue game on Tuesday night. But obviously things with Indiana basketball are at a big-time low. Very disappointing to watch. Very disappointing to see Romeo Langford get six shots in a game. Very disappointing to see a lot of stagnant offense out there. And so obviously Tuesday night we'll see what happens. Speaking of Tuesday, Big Ten conference race is really three teams. Michigan is in Michigan State at the top of that conference right now. Both of those teams with 12-3 records. Purdue, they've got 11-3 records, so the game Tuesday is big for them. They don't want to slip up against their rival and drop a little bit further behind Michigan and Michigan State in that conference, a race which could be really exciting here over the next few weeks to find out who wins the regular season battle. How about the bottom of the conference? You know, we talk about Penn State and Northwestern, and for a while Rutgers was down there. Guess who's down there now? Indiana. They would be in 12th place right now, I believe, really nearing the bottom of the conference. Penn State and Northwestern, I believe, behind them, and as far as records go, Penn State is 2-12, Northwestern is 3-11, Indiana 4-10, and then Nebraska, Rutgers 5-10 in the conference race. But Indiana, theoretically, no matter how you want to slice the pie, they are in the race for the bottom of the Big Ten Conference this year, which I don't think anyone expected that to happen. Not make the NCAA tournament? Okay, I mean, maybe it's hard to believe that, but maybe that happens. But not compete at all in the Big Ten, even in the middle of the pack, and be at the bottom? Hard to believe that's where Indiana is at this point of the season. So I tell you, Indiana basketball, it's a difficult thing to watch right now. And again, things are not going to get very much easier at all for this team moving forward in the remaining games. I mentioned the big rivalry at home against Purdue on Tuesday night. Following that contest, Indiana will play at Iowa. They'll take on Wisconsin at home. They'll take on Michigan State at home. They'll take on Illinois on the road, which they've gotten better. And then Rutgers at home, who's gotten better as well this season. So not an easy close to the season. Indiana, I think postseason hopes out the door. We'll see if this team is able to bounce back. If they can't bounce back at all against Purdue, and I know Purdue's good, but if they can't bounce back against a rival game like that at home, I really think that there's not much sense of paying too much attention the rest of the way, because I'm not sure that they'll win. Again, they may not win against Purdue, but can they come out and show some pride and compete against their in-state rival in the conference? We'll have to see. One note from the game outside of negatives, Race Thompson did get some minutes, 7 minutes, I believe, 2 points, 5 rebounds, 2 blocks in his game. His first college game is how Archie Miller described it in the post-game press conference. It is neat that he got to make his, I guess, quote-unquote debut in Minnesota, which is where he's from. His family was there behind the IU bench. Great to see him back. He's got some size. He is intriguing. We'll see if he becomes more of a part of the rotation here over the next few games, especially with Coach Miller saying that he's going to make some radical changes. So that also coming. Speaking of the Big Ten race, some bad news out of Michigan State. They lost Josh Langford a few weeks ago before Indiana played them. Actually, even before that. So that's a big loss for the team. And now it was initially called a dislocated finger for Nick Ward, is now considered to be a hairline fracture in his hand, out for an unknown amount of time. Michigan State says he hopes he will return before the end of the season. But that obviously is a blow for Michigan State, who's battling for a Big Ten championship. A couple recruiting notes before we chat about the high school pairings for a moment. Keon Brooks on the road for a recruiting visit. Supposed to have 2 visits this weekend. He was in Purdue on Saturday night as Kentucky defeated Tennessee. 86-69, by the way, that final score. They didn't just beat him, they beat him handily at Rupp Arena. And then he was supposed to be at Michigan State on Sunday for an unofficial visit as well, but did not make the trip up there, was unable to get there, I guess, in time. So I don't know if that will be rescheduled. Really no confirmation on that either way. There is a thought out there that Keon Brooks is trying to make a decision by the end of the month. So a couple weeks or so, maybe we'll know where he is headed for college. If you're Indiana and he's at Kentucky and he's making maybe a possible another trip to Michigan State, do you feel good about his recruitment still, knowing what's going on the floor? That has to weigh in, no matter what the conversations between Archie and his parents and Archie and Keon about how they'll use him next year, how him and Trace Jackson Davis can play together next year. There obviously have to be some concerns. I mean, there just have to be. So how does Indiana's current play affect Indiana's ability to land Keon Brooks, which would be another key piece of recruiting for Archie Miller to finish off the 2019 class? We'll see. It sounds like that could be coming to an end soon. A lot of people think maybe Kentucky's not only in the race, but maybe making some improvement in their standing with Keon Brooks, so we'll have to see. One other recruiting note as well, Christian Lander of Evansville Wrights, a young player who's been at IU a number of times. He's got a number of high major offers, 38 points for Evansville Wrights as they defeated Southport 63-45 over the weekend for him. And Wrights has been a mediocre team, struggling team at times this season, but Lander with a huge output in a game in the Indianapolis area for his Wrights team over the weekend. Sectional pairings last night. Some interesting games, interesting possibilities for the sectionals across the area. We'll start with 4A at Seymour. Jeffersonville, they draw Jennings County. That first game on Tuesday night, Jennings County will take on Floyd Central on Tuesday night. Bedford North Lawrence will await the winner of Jeffersonville and Seymour. New Albany gets a bye. They will await the winner of the second game on Tuesday, Jennings County and Floyd Central. So let's look at that for a second. Friday night at Seymour, of course, no Romeo, still a lot of interest. Think about this. It could be Bedford against Jeffersonville in that first game on Friday night in the semifinals. New Albany against Floyd Central. Two great games. The New Albany-Floyd Central game would be the later start at 7:30. No reason for that section. I know it's hard to get up there on Tuesdays. I know especially if your team draws the early game. Even on Friday, it may be hard to get there from work. Friday night in Seymour has a chance to be a really special night of some good basketball if the pairings hold up as we think that they will. And it would be a major, major shock to not see Jeffersonville and or Floyd Central or both of them on that Friday night. I mean, they're going to get there. It's going to be a great night of basketball, so make plans to get there now. But Seymour, that draw very interesting and could work out for a really good Friday and, of course, a good championship game as well on Saturday night. At Charlestown, it's a seven-teamer. That means Charlestown and Brownstown Central are going to play on Tuesday. North Harrison and Cordon on Wednesday. Scottsburg will take on Salem on Wednesday. And guess what? Silver Creek gets the bye. They play on Friday in game one, but they get the winner of Brownstown and Charlestown. Likely we're going to see a Silver Creek-Brownstown rematch, which was one of Silver Creek's three losses this regular season. So the Dragons could get some postseason revenge very early in the tournament on that Friday night if they take on Brownstown, which, again, I would be completely shocked if it's not a Silver Creek-Brownstown matchup. And to be quite honest with you, I'd be really shocked if Silver Creek doesn't win the matchup and move on to make a run into the state tournament. 2A sectional at Crawford County. Eastern Pekin will take on one of the favorites, Crawford County, on Tuesday. Clarksville and Providence, they will play in a first-round game on Wednesday, as will Henryville and Paoli. Austin gets a bye. They will take on the winner of Pekin and Crawford County, and then the winner of Clarksville-Providence and Henryville-Paoli will meet in the second semifinal on Friday night. Paoli, obviously, a favorite in that sectional with Crawford County. I hate to see Clarksville and Providence draw each other right out of the gate. Both of those teams have had some struggles this season, but I think they're finding themselves. They're healthy. They're getting better. They've had some big point performances recently from key players on both of those teams, and I thought that maybe one of them could get hot and win a couple games or maybe pull an upset off in that 2A sectional at Crawford County. Hate to see one of them get knocked out on that first night, or I should say that second night, since it's a seven-team sectional on Wednesday. I was hoping that maybe both of them would have a chance to win a game or two and see what happens, but one of them's going to go out on their first day of play, their first game in that 2A sectional at Crawford County. Class A at Borden. New Washington takes on Borden on Tuesday. Rock Creek takes on South Central on Tuesday. Christian Academy of Indiana gets a bye. They will take on the New Wash Borden winner. Lanesville gets a bye. They will take on the Rock Creek South Central winner. The great championship matchup could very well be intact between Christian Academy and Lanesville. We had both of those coaches on our program last night. That could be a great sectional championship game with the winner moving on to the Lagodi Regional. That's a look at the pairings. That's a look at the headlines. Again, if you missed our pairing show from last night, you can find it on SoundCloud or Apple Podcast as well. Interviews with nine coaches. We had all three of the local 4A coaches. We had Sean Smith from Providence, Brian McEwen from Clarksville. Back-to-back, we had Christian Academy coach Steve Kerberg, Silver Creek coach Brandon Hoffman, and more. Make sure you check it out. Some interesting things on all of those teams directly from the head coaches immediately after they found out their draw for the state tournament. We'll head to a commercial break. That's the headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill. Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star is next. We're going to spend the next segment talking, breaking down IU basketball and all of its woes and talking about the IU-Purdue game on Tuesday after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back on this Monday program. Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, my guest. He's the IU insider for the Indy Star. You can read his great work at indystar.com/sports. And, Zach, each week we talk about IU's problems in this segment, and each week you kind of think, you know, they really can't get any worse than what they are. This team's not playing very well. They've lost a number of games, most of them in a row outside of that Michigan State game. Wow, this is pretty bad. And then somehow the next week we come on Monday and we think, you know, it's gotten worse. Amazingly, it has. And that's what happened with this team in their road game, a bad loss by a number of points to Minnesota over the weekend. And here we sit, Indiana absolutely continuing to fall and fall and fall in the Big Ten Conference.
Yeah, I mean, it was a bad performance. I don't know if it was quite start to finish, but it felt pretty close to start to finish. There were maybe a couple of stretches where Indiana kind of fought. You know, there was one where they got the lead down to 10 points, or excuse me, down to 5 points from about 10, 12 points. Minnesota called timeout and you know, just stuck like a 5-7-0 run right back into them, and it just kind of took control again, and it was – in some ways, I guess it was probably the performance a lot of us thought we would see at Michigan State, you know, to be honest. But it winds up coming against Minnesota, and it winds up just being kind of bad all around. I mean, Indiana let Jordan Murphy score 17 points in the first half. That's more points than any Indiana player scored at all. I mean, like overall in the game, Minnesota was the worst three-point shooting team in the Big Ten, hit 12 threes. And a couple of them were kind of junk threes, but a lot more of them were good looks, uncontested looks, semi-contested looks. You know, Indiana didn't get Romeo Langford involved enough. Indiana got out-rebounded in a game where it knew that it really could not afford to not match Minnesota on the glass. I mean, you can quantify it statistically any number of ways. The reality is it was a bad, bad performance, and it was one that obviously left Indiana, both players and coaches, with some fairly harsh words post-game. I mean, Archie Miller was promising, quote-unquote, drastic changes. Deron Davis was talking about his team needing to stay, you know, more together and just be tougher. And Juwan Morgan had some, I thought, really pointed comments at times. You know, he said, people just think teams aren't going to attack us. I think they're thinking, woe is me. Instead of we've got to fight out of this rut, nobody else is going to do it for us. And none of this was uttered with, you know, great emotion. That's kind of not who, not what defines this team in terms of guys' public demeanors. But it's clear that there's also maybe a level of letting this kind of play out behind the curtain that some of this team's leaders, whether it be their coach or their more experienced players, just don't think is necessary anymore.
Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star, our guest. So many different ways to take this conversation today. I at some point want to talk about the Purdue matchup and Race Thompson returning and a few things like that. But first, to kind of keep it on where Indiana's at right now, Archie Miller, some pretty pointed comments himself following the game about drastic changes and the game, and I'm paraphrasing here, the game at Minnesota, a deal breaker. Obviously, we could all make guesses on what potential changes could be, but do you expect a shakeup maybe in the starting lineup and in playing time against Purdue on Tuesday night at Assembly Hall?
I mean, I would be kind of surprised at this point if we don't see that. I think it's always kind of tough because you don't want to put words in a coach's mouth, and because, you know, what might qualify as a quote unquote, you know, shake up to Archie Miller might mean something different to you or to me. But I would be surprised, for example, if there aren't one or two noticeable lineup changes. You know, I think that's obviously one place to do it. And I know if you're trying to send a message, I know there are segments of Indiana's fan base that that feel that's probably long overdue, maybe too long overdue. I've always thought that's one of the more sort of difficult things decisions the coach has to make is kind of, you know, the balance between sticking by your guys and deciding when it's time to, you know, when it's time to turn up the heat and maybe call somebody down publicly, if not with words, then at least certainly with actions. I just, you know, I don't know what the right answer always is there. But I think that for a coach that has had some tough words for Indiana this season, but it's not like we've seen Archie Miller rant and rave. You know, he hasn't gotten technical fouls called on him. We haven't seen him, you know, it's not like there have been like tweetable moments in huddles where he's just been absolutely screaming at players or anything like that. He has maintained a fairly even keel. I think it was interesting to kind of hear such a direct challenge of his team on Saturday, but I don't think it was necessarily inappropriate either, just given the performance that we saw.
We're talking with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, IU basketball. They take on Purdue on Tuesday. This team, bottom of the conference, is kind of the race they're in. Purdue is at the top of the conference, in the top three, I think you could say right now, that we'll have a chance to battle for a regular season championship as things come to a close over the next few weeks. We know Purdue is good. We know that they absolutely handled Indiana the last time they played in West Lafayette. We also know, as already discussed today, IU is not playing good basketball by any stretch of the imagination. What happens if this team comes out and not only gets beat by Purdue on Tuesday, but shows no effort, almost as if maybe the season has already ended? Some of the guys maybe mentally have checked out. That's how it looked to me at times watching that Minnesota game over the weekend. What happens at home if that happens against a rival like Purdue? What could the fallout from that be?
I mean, it wouldn't be good. And I know that's an easy thing to say, but you know, I try really hard not to be body language guy, you know, when it comes to just sort of reading different things, because I don't really like trying to put yourself in somebody else's shoes without being able to talk to them and things like that in this job. It was interesting to me. I commented on this, and so did another member of the IU press corps. We traveled to Minnesota, obviously, on Saturday. Indiana looked kind of flat during warmups, and, you know, you kind of wondered, well, maybe it's just a road game. It's an afternoon start. You know, it's sometimes stuff just is a little bit unusual, and it'll be fine. But then you kind of pair it with the performance that Indiana had, and it does sort of make you wonder whether or not maybe this is a team that is struggling to kind of spark itself to life right now. And listen, in one respect, you lose 10 of 11, you go from 12-2, and all the attendant expectations and praise and, you know, hope for this to be a big season, and it kind of comes crashing down on you so hard. It's not like Indiana's played 500 balls since then. You know, Indiana has, as you said, basically plummeted to the bottom of the conference. You can understand where some guys would maybe just be struggling a little bit with the inspiration or whatever you want to say. You know, that was where that Juwan Morgan woe is me comment stuck out to me on Saturday. But there was also a comment that he said, one of us asked if the, you know, sort of this stretch was weighing on guys. And he said, you know, for sure, everybody's human. Losses take their toll on everybody. But at the same time, this is what guys signed up for. We have to be ready to play night in and night out. And then, you know, I also came back to the end of that other quote where he said, nobody else is going to do it for us. I know there's a lot of heat on Archie Miller. I think that's just kind of what you get into when you are the head coach at Indiana. You know that that's what you're signing up for, to use a Juwan Morgan's term, and you know that's what you're being paid a lot of money for. And if you can't find a way to connect with your team and get them, you know, get them out of stretches like this, then, you know, you're going to have to answer for it in a pretty serious way with a fan base that has high expectations and can be emotional at times. But it was also interesting to me. I mean, Juwan Morgan's comments, not that you would expect a senior to just sort of directly challenge his coach, but those also, quite frankly, felt like much more directly challenging comments to his teammates from Juwan Morgan than I can remember him sort of saying or expressing at any point in the last two seasons. And there have been some lows in the last two seasons, some pretty substantial ones. but I don't remember a time when Juwan Morgan, who has been outspoken as wanting to be this team's leader, this team's sort of talisman, captain, whatever you want to say, was so blunt in, at least in my opinion, reading those quotes, talking to his teammates.
Zach Osterman with the Indianapolis Star. Our guest, any thoughts on Romeo Langford Saturday getting six shots in that game?
You know, I felt from the beginning like Indiana wasn't getting Romeo Langford involved enough. Now, at the same time, there were also a couple of moments when I thought Romeo could have attacked a little bit more. There were a couple of times where he got, I think, Josh Margolis, who readers will know from his time in student media and working at Inside the Hall. Josh is back in Minneapolis now, but he was covering the game, and he tweeted this a couple times. There were a couple times where Romeo got switched on to Jordan Murphy in a pretty clear one-on-one situation. And Jordan Murphy is a fine player, but he's also, you know, more of an undersized forward, a guy that's not necessarily, you know, just an elite defender. You would back Romeo Langford in that situation to really exploit that matchup, and instead he just kind of didn't really seem ready to attack it, or maybe not ready, but maybe hesitant. I don't know. So I think there were also some moments where it felt a little bit like Romeo Langford was hesitant to really be as aggressive as I think we know he can be, and as dangerous as I think we know that he can be. And we've seen him be, frankly, at times this season. And like a lot of this team's problems, I don't think that it all comes down to just one person doing just one thing, or it's, you know, it's all down to one cause or all down to another cause. You know, this team's issues have a lot of different fathers and grandfathers. I thought Indiana really struggled to get Romeo Langford involved in the offense, especially early. He just was not getting nearly enough touches, quite frankly, and he wasn't getting touches in places that would allow you to call them probably quality touches either. But I also, there were times when I also just sort of thought it felt like Romeo Langford just wasn't quite engaging as aggressively as I thought he would in certain matchups.
Zach Osterman with the Indianapolis Star. I guess Zach is always with us Monday as we talk IU basketball, specifically at this time of year, and a lot of discussion about IU's struggles. I want to bring up recruiting for a moment, and then I want to jump back into a couple other things, but this is something that I get asked a lot, and people, I think, still very into the recruiting of this team and Trace Jackson Davis as his team gets ready for the state tournament, following some of those guys. But the big question is, can IU land Keon Brooks? And you and I may have had this conversation, or any recruit right now of a high stature, a high level, because of their struggles on the court. And it sure looks like Keon's recruitment, which has had a lot of twists and turns, maybe, as some people think, trending against Indiana right now with his time at Kentucky over the weekend. He was supposed to get up to Michigan State after a Saturday night visit to Lexington. He did not make that trip. We don't know many details about that, or if he will make up that trip at some other time to Michigan State. But, you know, it's always been Indiana, Indiana, Indiana's got a chance to land him. Indiana's going to land him. There have always been positive vibes when I've brought up Keon's name on this program or off the air to guys that know a lot more about the recruiting than what I do. However, just reading what I've read, hearing what I've heard, nothing inside, nothing special, you start to put all this together and it starts to pile up, and you wonder, will this slide that Indiana's had in January and now into February hurt Archie Miller's chances to land Keon Brooks? And have you heard anything coming out of his visit to Lexington this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, I think I've probably heard a lot of the same things you've heard, that it does seem like Kentucky is putting itself in a really good position, and you want to be careful not to speculate when you're talking about recruiting. And to your point, things can change pretty quickly. But at the same time, you know, it did seem very sort of pro-Indiana there for a very long time, and now all of a sudden that has that's kind of ebbed away. In conjunction with a visit to Kentucky, which can make you think that maybe, you know, maybe it is a player starting to look at, you know, sort of on the other side of the fence or whatever you want to say. But, you know, I'm also, and I'm very much especially when it comes to football, I'm very much sort of recruiting rankings guy. I've I think I've mentioned that on this program in the past. I make no bones about it. I didn't used to be. Then I worked in that world, and I saw just how direct of a correlation there can be between recruiting rankings in a sort of wider aggregate sense and team success. And I think it's a little bit different in basketball because you're dealing with 13 scholarship players rather than 85. And so, you can get one or two really, really good classes and that can make your roster for 3 years and give you time to kind of, build something a little bit more staid and permanent. But you're also in a position where, listen, I don't think for a moment anybody should be talking about Archie Miller's job security. I think that's ridiculous. I think that's really ridiculous, frankly. What I do think is fair is to say that this is slimming the margin for error for Archie in terms of his standing with the fan base and the length of the leash, so to speak, that he's going to operate with in the future. The worse this season gets, the more it's going to be something that's going to get hung around his neck and he's going to have to come back from, and he's going to have to sort of account for or atone for in the future. If that's the case, then you need talent and you need depth and you need guys that can be game changers for you. And Keon Brooks, by every accounting is a player of that level. I think if I'm Archie Miller, I'm looking at it and I'm in a position where I'm saying, listen, our problem right now is that as much as anything else, and I've seen a lot of people compare Indiana and Purdue this season. And in fact, I did a podcast with Nathan Baird, my counterpart at the Lafayette Journal and Courier, and then again, that network covering Purdue just this morning. And I said, the biggest difference that it feels like between Purdue and IU, two young teams, two teams with some real talent at the top of the roster, but also a lot of young players that they really needed to develop. One team in Purdue that struggled in November and December and then really picked it up in the new year. One team in Indiana that was really good in November and December and clearly has not kicked on from that and gotten better in the last couple of months is that Purdue has a culture that's established. It has a fundamental sort of foundational way of doing things that it can say, Matt Painter could say, I've been here 14 years, 15 years, whatever it is. If it's going wrong, we just pivot back to these basic things that you know how to do because they're the things I taught you from day one. And if I'm Archie Miller, or if I'm sort of advising Archie Miller, and Lord knows I don't think he needs my advice, but the one thing that from my seat Indiana's struggling with as much as anything else right now is getting that installed, is getting that foundation in place. And if that's the case, then I think if you're Archie Miller, you can't worry about one kid. You can't worry about one recruit, even a very, 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 very good one like Keon Brooks, a potential game changer. You've got to be thinking about something more intrinsic and more sort of ground level with the way that you are building your program, your roster, your locker room, everything, so that when your teams hit hard times, as we've seen Indiana hit this year, they have these sort of anchors to hold on to and to steady themselves with. So rather than, maybe just sort of winding up getting tossed and turned in the waves to torture all of these cliches and metaphors that I'm throwing out there, the way that this team kind of has. This team has just sort of felt rudderless for about a month and a half. And if I'm Archie, I'm thinking more about figuring out a way to make that ship sturdier than I am necessarily saying we have to worry about this recruit, this specific player right here, right now.
Zach Osterman with the Indianapolis Star on IU basketball and their struggles. You'd like to say, the habit is to say big game Tuesday, rival game. Can Indiana get a victory here? Can they compete in this game and show improvement? But based on what you've seen up close and personal as you're at the games, every game, hard to make that assumption right now that typical a IU-Purdue game, very close, a battle, even if one of the teams is overall having a down year, it's still that type of series where you get up for the opponent, the crowd's into it, especially if it's at your place. But unfortunately, for a big game on Tuesday, I'm not sure that we can be correct in calling it a big game, at least from that perspective.
Well, I think it's going to be interesting whether we can or not, quite frankly. And you know, what I'm, I guess, just to let the cat out of the bag, I don't know that anybody really cares that much, but you know, what I'm writing in advance of the game is basically we heard all of these pretty tough words from Indiana's coach and a lot of its more experienced players on Saturday after a you know, kind of a humiliating loss at Minnesota. There is not a more emotional game left on Indiana's schedule this season than Purdue at home. And increasingly, you feel like if all Indiana's kind of playing for is basically pride and the ability to say that it, at very least it went down fighting and it didn't just sort of capitulate quietly, this is the kind of game where you do show that fight and where you really respond. And I think that if nothing else, it's fair for Indiana fans to look at IU this week and tomorrow night and say, do you have a response left in you? Or has this season just drained all of that capacity out of you at this point? And then from there, you can sort of say where does that take the rest of Indiana's season? I don't know, but I think that feels to me the big storyline going into tomorrow night is, does Indiana have a response left after everything it's been through this year or not?
Absolutely. Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star, as always, thanks for the chat, Zach. You know, we'll do it again next Monday and catch up from there.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star, always with us Mondays. Quick commercial break. We're back with Chad Gilbert, Charlestown's athletic director, and an IHSAA executive board member. We're going to talk pairings, and we know the paths in the sectional now. We'll do that next after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Monday program. Final segment each week is Chad Gilbert. Chad is Charlestown's athletic director and also an IHSAA executive board member and with us Mondays to talk local sports here in Southern Indiana. Chad, of all the things we do in the area, one of the most fun is the pairings on Sunday night, followed by the pairing show where we get to talk with coaches from across Southern Indiana about their team selection and how their teams are performing at this late point of the season. It's kind of that week warning, week and a half warning that the postseason is here, and boy, it's a great time.
Oh, it is a great time. By the way, great show last night. Always great insight. Always great from a coach's perspective on what the pulse is of their team and where they go from here. And if you're a coach right now, you're focusing on that round one matchup. And every coach, you know, who's out there, when we did it, we had a file of every New Albany game, every New Albany play. We had a coach who was in charge when we played New Albany of getting their play calls. So when we played them in the sectional, we knew exactly what that play call was going to be. And we had that for all our teams in our sectional. For everybody we had our binder in the back because we knew we were going to run across those teams again. So it's a time that you dust that off, you do some intel work, you do some recon work, and you try to be your very best starting next week.
You know, that's probably something that maybe the average fan doesn't consider. As soon as that draw is published on Sunday night, coaches and their staffs can then go to work on trying to run down films, trade tapes, whatever the situation is, shot chart games, try to get those plays from the other team. Even while practices and regular season games continue this week, if you're a coach, you have to step your game up, not only coaching your team and preparing your team for this final week and getting them ready on the court, mentally, physically, all those areas for the sectional, but you've got to be preparing for opponents maybe two or three games down the line that you really don't know that you'll get there. But if you do, you want to be prepared and know what's going on to give your team the best opportunity to be successful.
But when you talk about that, man, let's talk a little bit about the assistant coach, the coach's wife. You know, the tournament started for everybody yesterday because teams all had their selection Sunday draw parties yesterday where they had their cakes, they had their pizza, they went through the deal. It just got a little bit of excitement going in this last week of the year because the year's been a grind. And so you're trying to revamp your team. Now, as that's being said, your assistant coaches, when I coached, Joe Wright had five teams. Ty Anderson had five teams. Amy Gilbert had five teams. You know, Leon Gallagher had five teams. We divvied that out. Now, what we did on that one throughout the year, we divvied that out, and then they went over it with me. I was responsible for all 20. So I went through it, and we went, made sure we were on the same page for walkthrough, personnel, and everything going in. Then as the season went on, you know, we had, if Joe Wright had New Albany game, that was Joe Wright's scout in the sectional. You know, if Ty Anderson had Floyd Central, that was his scout. You know, the way it worked out, Amy, my assistant, she had Evansville Harrison. We draw them in the morning game and probably play our best game of the year shorthanded to beat Harrison that morning. And a lot of it had to do with our preparation throughout the week, because we knew every play call and we were prepared to do it. But there's so much to it, Matt, because on sectional week, you want to have your team meal. You want to have your practice on the other court. The assistants have to take that responsibility. And that is a task. You have to have assistants, one, that are able to do it, and two, that are willing to do it. And I think that's what makes the teams elite from this point forward, because there's just so much on the coach that he has to do at this point in the season that your assistants really have to step up. And they shouldn't be called assistant coaches. They should be called associate head coaches, because they have a lot of responsibility this time of the year.
Yeah, no question about it. Talking with Chad Gilbert about the tournament draw out last night. If you missed our special show, we had nine coaches on in about 2 hours, and you can find it on SoundCloud and Apple Podcasts as well, just as we podcast out the normal edition, the daytime edition of our program as well. Let's go through some of the things that stand out to me and get your thoughts. In 4A, hard to not get excited about a great Friday night semifinal night of matchups. Bedford and Jeff, if it plays out that way, followed by Floyd Central and New Albany. What a good night that could be. Post-Romeo time, I know, but that's a great semifinal night that surely will bring a big crowd out to Seymour High School.
Well, you can guarantee that will be, or, you know, it could be, that you still got to play the Tuesday night games. I've seen crazy stuff happen in this sectional, and that's what makes the sectional fun, is one, it's a blind draw, and two, you don't have to be the better team. It's not a best of seven. You just got to be the better team on that night. So you got to get there. But once you get there, you know, that's a revenge night. If you don't think Jeffersonville circled Bedford, you're crazy. If you don't think New Albany circled Floyd Central, you're crazy. They're going to go out there, and they're going to flat battle. If you want to see some great games and it plays out that way, guys leaving it all on the line, you're playing for everything you got. Your whole season is culminating to that. Now, as a coach, do you say that to your team? Absolutely not. You say, hey, we're getting better every game. This is just one more game to our goal. We want to win six games to win the state championship at Bankers Life. This is just one more game. And we go on and we're trying to get better, because we want to play great on Tuesday, better on Friday, and our best on Saturday. Then do that process again the following week. That's how you approach it. That's how you come out on it. And for the fans, it's going to be exciting basketball. Look for a great crowd at Seymour.
Should be a lot of fun. Let's look at some of the others. You host a sectional at Charlestown, a seven-teamer, so you've got a number of nights of basketball that will take place here coming up on sectional week. Interesting. The draw there, and of course, most interesting, everybody following Silver Creek, they get the bye, and if things work out, you're kind of quick to slow me down when I start to look ahead at potential matchups a game or two into the sectional. But if everything works out, you could have a really good semifinal game between Silver Creek and Brownstown, one of the Dragons' just three losses in the regular season.
Again, a revenge game if that works out that way. If you don't think Silver Creek's had that game circled, cost them the Mid-Southern Conference champions. Brownstown's the Mid-Southern Conference champion outright. Silver Creek did not win that. So if you don't think that those guys have that game circled, again, you're crazy. But it goes back again, the way it could play out, Friday nights could be the best games of the tournament. Now, again, you never know, because it's one game and done. You're going to see kids competing at the highest level every single night in the sectional, but it's going to be a lot of fun. Like you said, you know, it's an opportunity to go out there and survive in advance.
Chad Gilbert is our guest, talking about some of the pairings that came out on Sunday night. Anything else kind of catch your attention? I hated to see Clarksville and Providence have to play each other right out of the gate in 2A. They both have had some nice weeks here recently. I know Providence hasn't won, but they've had overtime games with some big schools and some, you know, schools that are having good seasons, which say that they're getting better and maybe preparing themselves to put something together in the sectional. Who knows? It's Clarksville, back-to-back wins, a couple of new players emerging for them, and I just hate to see them get each other right out of the gate and knock one or the other out.
that was one game that did catch my eye, Matt, because both those teams are very well coached, and they've gotten better as the seasons went on. Those two guys work extremely hard. Their players play hard for them, and they'll go out there, and they're going to compete. Now, you know, you played the city championship and all that. Again, there's going to be a revenge factor coming to play there. However, you go out there, and you're trying to advance. That two-way sectional year in and year out is always very competitive, and it should be fun.
Chad Gilbert is our guest talking the pairings on Sunday night. Chad, as always, thanks for the chat. You know, we'll catch up and get your predictions next week on our local sectionals, so make sure you're putting your thoughts together on those.
Stay in touch with me, Matt. I appreciate the run. Thanks for everything you do for Southern Indiana sports.
Absolutely. Chad Gilbert with me to help close out this Monday edition of the program. Again, one more hit on the pairing show last night. It was great to catch up with nine coaches. Also, special announcement last night with Kinsey Winstead. He's going to be covering high school basketball in the area very thoroughly at the HoosierHillsHoops.com website. He's working now on some sectional preview stories. Those will be up soon. And the week of sectional, that's when things relaunch. He's got all sorts of ideas and plans for coverage, both of games, of players, of coaches, of the area in full. We'll be talking more about that coming up as well, but make sure you look for those coming out soon. And again, the podcast from last night, if you missed it, go to soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report, all one word, soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. It's the same location either on SoundCloud, the app, or the website, Apple Podcast, also that you can find our daily show if you miss a segment or full show there. Also, so make sure you check that out. It was a great show last night. My thanks to all the coaches for taking time out to join us on a very busy evening for their program, for their team, even though it's a Sunday, getting ready for the sectional tournament. That's going to wrap things up for this Monday. I'll be back on Tuesday. We'll look more IU-Purdue on that day to get ready for tomorrow night and much more right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.